A lot has changed since Senator Bernie Sanders' first bid for president in 2016. Now he's well known and considered to be a front runner in the 2020 race. He's also demonstrated the ability to raise huge amounts of money using small donations. But perhaps the biggest change is the structure of the primaries themselves. Instead of holding their primaries in the spring, California and Texas are among a large number of states that will be part of Super Tuesday in the beginning of March. And Democrats have reduced the power of the superdelegates who proved a serious obstacle to Sanders in 2016. VPR's Bob Kinzel looks at how the Sanders campaign is preparing for the new political reality.
During the 2016 campaign, it was important for Sanders to show early strength as a candidate. That's why he spent a lot of time in Iowa and New Hampshire. The early work paid off. He almost defeated former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the Iowa caucuses, and he won big in New Hampshire. Then the campaign was forced to quickly throw together organizations in many states across the country. This year is very different. Sanders advisor Josh Orton says the campaign is in the process of putting together strong organizations in dozens of states right from the start.
The campaign will be getting involved and building volunteer lists and building the infrastructure, not just in the first couple states, but we have to look past the first couple states, California, Texas. It's essential that in this election cycle, in this primary, that candidates are able to sort of walk and chew gum at the same time.
How will the big change in the primary schedule impact this race?
I think it's a pretty big game changer. I think, especially in a crowded field, this might very well make people stay in the race longer than simply after the first round of the four corner states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada.
That's Norbert University political science professor Ted Cohn. He expects that Sanders will do well again in Iowa and New Hampshire. Cohn says an early test for the campaign will come in the next two states, South Carolina and Nevada. These are states where Clinton defeated Sanders 4 years ago.
But I think it's these other states as well that are going to prove, you know, is he really the national phenomenon that he was in 2016?
UVM political science professor Ellen Anderson thinks it's essential for Sanders to sweep the first four states if he's going to have a solid chance to win the nomination.
So he doesn't have to win California. He just needs not to lose California too badly. But he more or less has to take the other states.
The new primary campaign calendar also poses some strategic questions for the candidates. Former Middlebury College political science professor Eric Davis says Sanders and the other Democratic candidates will have to weigh the pros and cons of finishing first in a small state with just a few delegates versus a competitive finish in a much larger state.
You know, you could come in first in the New Hampshire primary, but end up with a very small number of delegates, which would be much less than you would get from finishing, say, second rather than third in California.
Davis says there's another key issue to consider in the 2020 race. It wasn't a major concern in 2016 because the field of candidates was so small. But now it could emerge as a significant factor with more than 20 candidates in the race. Delegates are awarded on a proportional basis depending on how the candidates finish. But there's a 15% threshold to win any delegates. For instance, in the Vermont primary in 2016, Hillary Clinton received almost 14% of the vote, but didn't meet the threshold, so she was awarded no delegates based on the vote. Davis says this rule could have a huge impact on how delegates are awarded in 2020.
You could come up with a hypothetical scenario where a candidate could win, say, half the delegates in California with only 30% of the vote, but coming in as the plurality winner, getting more votes than anybody else.
Another change this year involves so-called superdelegates. They're a group of longtime party leaders who were appointed, not elected, as delegates. 4 years ago, they represented about 15% of all the Democratic delegates. That emerged as a big problem for Sanders because more than 90% of them announced their support for Clinton early in the campaign, giving her a sizable lead over Sanders at the outset of the race. Sanders was very critical of this process, saying it was a, quote, highly undemocratic way to select delegates. He successfully worked to limit their role in 2020. Now superdelegates will be allowed to vote only if no candidate wins the nomination on the first ballot, a change designed to give primary voters more power. Sanders is currently on a 3-day trip to Iowa, and he's scheduled to hold a campaign rally in Concord, New Hampshire on Sunday. For VPR News, I'm Bob Kinzel.